Blog Talk Radio.
Because of anxiety shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Yes, I'm here.
All right,
what are you up here? Yo, bro, Drew.
All right.
I'm here.
You sound like
you muffled when you get this fan off.
A different phone.
Huh?
Using a different phone today.
Yeah, Sister Shonda.
Yes.
I before you get started, this is a deep subject, baby. I didn't know how deep you had gotten until I looked up the word. I already know what this word was because back in the day they called it pedigree. That's what my daddy would ask you about. What's your pedigree? Means this word that you're going to deal with, this word here is a word that highly need to be taught to somebody look like me and you, because it's so deep that it takes you into the other subject that, you know, we talked about doing taboo. The word taboo, you,
yes.
Meaning that's what one culture say that is wrong, another culture says it's right. and nobody want to talk about the taboos of each culture, and we have got to understand that all of our education and understanding were given to us by white folks. So whose literature and stuff do you believe in that done created your mind? This is where this would make this word so deep. It goes into a whole lot of other studies. But before we get started, I want some stuff happened today. I got some knowledge of some stuff that I didn't know about. But when you study with me, you study an esoteric knowledge that's coming out of two books. The Protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion, which is 528 years old, and the 1881 King James Bible, which is 140-some years old. When we study, we're studying what is written in these books. And all of y'all that got your protocol, and what makes it good, Sister Shonda, is that you can Google the protocol as we speak. So you can Google the protocol if you ain't got your book. But Google protocol number 10. Number 10 and number 11 tell you something. It's very long. And the reason is so long, the number 10 is Yah's number. Everything is up under the code system. So that's wrote in the Protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion, to let us know what we are only doing and reading out of what these books say and interpreting these books as they come into existence. In the protocol, at the back of the protocol, you have what they call the funeral rites. That means that everything that has been done is in the funeral rites when you're reading this book, when you understand how this book is written. Everything that's in the funeral rites has been done for y'all that got the protocol, has been done. It came to my attention this morning, and that something would be passed into law on October 2020. We're going to get a new identification card through your driving license. Everybody has got to have a new driver's license by October 2020. This bill was passed in Congress by Obama. We didn't know, some of us know, I didn't know shit about it until this morning. This is how I didn't know nothing about it until this morning. But when I found out about it, all of this is wrote in a book. We're talking protocol number 10. You read it. I'm explaining these six pages to you right quick. It says that when you get a new ID, you was going to have a new Republican constitution would be put in. The present day constitution is a republic. But they say they're going to put it, and you've read in protocol, it says you're going to have a new constitution called Republican Constitution. In the book of Revelation, you read about the mark of the beast. Everybody would have this mark and a chip in their wrist and body and stuff. It costs too goddamn much money for a chip. So they got something that's known as the National ID card that everybody has got to have by October 2020. And it's your driver's license. And if you just renewed your driving license, you got a star on your driving license. That means that every camera that's placed, when you go through that camera, they got you, meaning that you in the system. Now, it's the same system that China been had. Why you think that Bush and China's president hanging out is because they're telling him how this shit gonna have to go down. when they improvise when protocol number 10 go into effect, it tells you in protocol number 10 that when you get this new, that all presidents of the United States will be appointed. Remember, Trump is the first appointed president in this. We've had three appointed presidents. You had George Washington was the first appointed president, and you had Baby Bush. That's during our lifetime, and Donald Trump. So you got introduced to them appointing a president with Baby Bush, and with Donald Trump, he's the first to the new Republican Constitution. And so I just wanted to let everybody get hip to this, and this goes in effect October 2020. And I find it, Brother Drew and Sister Shonda, I find it amazing. November 2020 is when? What? Election. The next month is election. And you got to have this ID. And how many people are aware of this? Even if your driver's license is going to go out to 2023 or something like that, you ain't going to be renewing it for you to vote. You're going to have this national ID card that they're giving it to you. They putting the tip in you through your driver's license. But I wanted everybody to be hip to that. We're going to talk about this next week. But I just wanted you to be hip to what's going down. And you got the protocol, and you go up on the, you can Google protocol and learn El Design. Go to page 32. It's on page 32. It's called protocol number 10. And then read protocol number 11. It'll tell you how the new constitution will be put into the system. In other words, we're being put into the system now of what is yet to come. So I turn you over to Sister Shonda now with this dynamite word that my daddy called pedigree.
Well, greetings, Brother Drew and Brother Dwyer. I trust that you all are doing very well, and everyone else, greetings to you. This subject today, how ethics play out in everyday life is really a grand subject because of how we interact with people. And mostly the problems that many people are challenged with in life are because of the ethics of some people, whether that's at home, at work, in your religious organizations, or in your community. So this is a very, very powerful subject in the effects that it gives us all an opportunity to check our own ethics and how we behave with ourselves and one another. And Brother Drew and Brother Dwyer, I want to ask you all a question before I go forward, and that is, it's a two-part question. How would you define ethics? And by viewing the people, what type of behavior practices with their ethics do they have?
Well, I can describe it in two words. Moral laws. How do this individual person feel about moral laws? See, ethics deals straight with your moral laws, and there is no moral laws in America. Everything is do as you feel. It's free for all. And see, when you have moral laws, which Christianity did away with the moral laws, they say they live under grace from those 613 moral laws that they sweet Jesus believed in. And see, now you into the fifth, five generations of 243 years of running a country with no moral laws. Now, it used to be in the black community that we had moral laws on judging who your children associated with. What was the pedigree? How did this person act in the community? And you didn't want your child with that child. And that's the way my mama and dad and grandmama thought. But you don't think like that now. It used to be where you was ashamed. You ain't ashamed of nothing if you born after 1970. You looking at that called a hip hop. When we was on stage performing, we performed in tuxedos and suits. You go butt naked on the stage now, and you a hit. So that's where this is a hell of a subject. So you see, what was banding on the radio when me and you, Brother Drew and Shonda was children, what was banned on the radio, our grandbabies can hear everything because, see, Last Port was banned off the radio. Hank Ballinger in the Midnight in 1950 put Annie Had a Baby, she couldn't work no more. It was banned off of the radio, but not in 2019. Oh,
yeah,
no.
It's a different story. Yeah. And what about you, Brother Drew, before I move forward? What would you
I'll tell you what, when I think about that, you know, Ben DeWall, he touched on a lot of big bases, but I think it's like a suitable conduct is just one thing, but as Ben DeWall already touched on, there's no suitable anymore in America. Everybody has become American. So that's, according to all the different races, everybody wants to be American. They've lost their language. They don't even want to speak their own language, so they have no suitable conduct to conduct themselves by.
Yeah, well, thank both of you. I appreciate that. Well, of course, you know, I'm going to go to the Google Woogle baby. Let's see what she got to say about ethics. ethics on Google. Ethics, of course, I'm going to walk it down like I normally do, and we'll just kind of interact as we go along. So ethics is a noun, and there is just only a handful of definitions that is here on Google in respect to their definition. It's number one, it says moral principles that govern a person's behavior or the conducting of an activity. It says that number two, the branch of knowledge that deals with moral principles. I want to just come back to number one just for a moment and just kind of bring that to some of the things that you talked about earlier, Brother Dwyer, moral principles that governs a person's behavior. And because it's broader than just a person, as we'll see. But what kind of behavior does the government has by forcing people to become a ID? Because essentially that's what they're doing, is that, yeah, it'll be too expensive to put the tag in everybody. But at the same time, we're still tagged without it because now we're digitalized by a representation of a code of numbers. And the question is, what actually will they do with all of this data? Have the ethics of this country, this government, sustained us? Has the ethics of this country been beneficial to us as a people? Has it been fair? Or even since fairness, like I tell my grandbabies, it's like, oh, it's not fair. Well, you know what? Forget about fair. How about if we use the word balanced? Have we had a balanced relationship with this government? And the question is no, because their ethics toward us has been poor in the past. It is poor now. So it is my assessment that if somebody been bad in the past and they bad now, that they will be bad in the future. Why I can say that? Because it's a mathematical formula. They are more likely to have poor ethics toward you. So the protocol, the other thing I want to come back and talk about, I'm just going to skip with just go with this for just a minute, and I'm going to come back to that, is that I found it kind of interesting that you said that it was protocol number 10, and it is 10, meaning October 2020, that they are going to, this major requirement is coming upon the entire America that is requiring us to be chipped by ID. So, and I know that mathematics and numerology means a lot to them in their decision-making processes, even though as a people, we know that we use mathematics when we're spending money, but we don't necessarily think that mathematics is codes of how things are going to begin as well as how they're going to play out. So I just wanted to say a little bit about that, Brother Dwyer, because there is not very much ethics in how, as a people, we have been dealt with in this country.
And I hadn't looked
so,
at it like that. I hadn't did the numbers on it. Thank you for doing it. I don't have to do it. see the number 10 is Amon Yah's number. The number 10 is the highest of the numbers. That's how we bust them. We know they wrote this in a book. This is what they believed in. So we're only analyzing their books. Keep
well,
on analyzing,
and yes, we got to keep analyzing them. But the good thing about this analyzation of this word ethics is because we have to even go back and look at the people who wrote the book. What kind of ethics did they have in bringing forth this type of lifestyle that we see right now? And the reason that I'm saying that is because that word ethics has an origin that goes back to Greek, and then goes into Latin, and then goes into Old French, and to English. And all of them agree on what this word means. This word has been consistent. Yes, go ahead, Brother Dwyer.
And boy, that's, now you got real deep there, because for the simple reason is, whose ethic do we have? We have the ethic of a subhuman who was a pagan, barbarian, heathen. That's what he say about his own damn self. This is why it's so important to deal with this subject here to its maximum degree of maxtivity. Is because whose ethic do you have? Why you act like you act is because, goddammit, you believe what his school of thoughts. Go ahead on, sister. But this subject is deep, because you have to know what kind of goddamn mind you got. And where did you get your mind from? You got it from a subhuman.
Yes,
and
absolutely, Brother Dwyer. Yes. Now, one of the questions is, what is the best definition of ethics? This is a question that was on Google. I really enjoy going on here because it really stretches your mind, because the questions are on here, because everything really is about asking the right question. And so, again, that is, what is the best definition of ethics? Ethics, the branch of philosophy that deals with morality. Ethics is concerned with distinguishing between good and evil in the world, between right and wrong human actions, and between virtuous and non-virtuous characteristics of people. Well, Brother Dwyer, did you not just talk about that when we talked about what happened to the moral standards of the people? What happened between being able to clearly distinguish between what could be considered good and what could be considered evil? What is the difference now between right and wrong? Those lines are blurred completely now. So, and what are the human actions that we're taking? Well, when you see that there's no respect for your mothers, there's no respect for your fathers, there's no respect for elders, there's no respect for even the religious leaders, there's no respect for teachers, educators, there's no respect. So that lets you know, yes, for self, absolutely. And that's why I say the ethics of yourself must be analyzed, because what happens is that the ethics of yourself, first I'll just say, they always say birds of a feather flock together. So what community are you from? What kind of ethics are you working with? Now, there's three type of ethics that we should be concerned with ourselves when we start really deeply going into this. The three schools of ethics are, one they call virtual ethics. Well, what's your virtue? What does that mean? Everybody pretty much know that that's, you know, like high moral standards, you know, you have great virtues. You know, I guess the one that always come to my mind is, which is that the female, you know, she doesn't have sex until she's married. She stays a virgin, you know. So that is a perception of a virtue. But that is also a perception of a virtue is from a sect of people who have that concept that is governs their morality, that governs their behavior with one another, that governs how they act at home and abroad. Brother Dwyer, do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, Proverbs, the 30th chapter of Proverbs, let's see, the 30th chapter and the 31st chapter of Proverbs, which the preachers always preach about, deals with the virtual woman. they put it up on the knowledge, and I find it amazing they put it on where how they arranged it in the books is up on the code. But the Bible teaches you what a virtual woman is. It tells you that in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. I'm glad you brought those three types. I think it's three types and five, something else, right?
Well, okay, so then you have what they call consequentialism. All right, but really, they didn't quite say it like that, but really that is the real meaning of this word. And what is that? It says that it is the doctrine that the morality of a action is to be judged solely by its consequences. So what could that be? The action that is judged solely by its consequences. Well, since we're talking about the female and her virtues, then I guess if she is a Jezebel. Yeah, if she is a Jezebel, then she will be judged by her consequences because of her moral standards of herself. So there are consequences, name calling, that name by itself, calling some female a Jezebel. You know, that's some bullshit. But anyway.
But see, that's the reason, Sister Sandra, a nation can rise no higher than its female. You have to look and see what female is producing the child. Is she what is her moral standards? So
yes.
We can see now in 2019,
And the standards that we was raised by, that all of this happened after 1970 when you became an African American. This is your history. 49 years you done produced this history that we're talking about.
Now, and the other one is called deontological. All right, so what that means is that it's ethics, especially that branch dealing with duty, moral obligation, and right action. Wow, right action. Man, we be so far away from right action, it's almost kind of scary. Back to the female. If the female has the right knowledge to rear a child, we will be able to produce better children for the future. You can judge the level of the nation by its female. So if you look at the community of the so-called African American, then it's easy to see that the children did not get their base root education. That was from 0 to 7. That should have been from the mama's breast, from her mouth, from her rearing, from her nutrition, all of these things, how to keep your house clean, how to keep your body clean, basic things, that etiquette, how to speak when you're spoken to, how to edify yourself and others. And these are things that are lost because of the ethics and the moral standing of a community have been completely dissipated. And the only way that it will be able to be lifted up is through a course of bringing new babies into this world. They have to be born with a new thought, a new practice, higher standards of morality, being able to be productive and working toward a collective cause of growing the future of a nation. And if these things are not taking place, then what we will see is another day that we see every day continually to repeat themselves. So the proof is here. We know we got really some terrible ethics right now. So the question is, how do you explain ethics, and where do you get your ethics from? So ethics really is a philosophy. That's why it's so willy-nilly all over the place, because it is about setting your laws in your home first, which is what Brother Dwyer talked about. In our home, there were certain things that you were just not going to do. In our home, there were certain behaviors when it came to respect of the family and disgrace of the family that you were not going to do. And so now those things are not there. And so we need to come back so that we can have this kind of dialogue about what is ethics, so that we can understand that everybody needs a moral code. You have to have nothing in creation exist except that it is here by a law. Everything is governed by laws, as Brother Dwyer talked about the moral laws. So it's we should be clear that if we are not governing ourselves by a set of laws, bylaws, then we are not in control of self. Someone else is in control of you because they are setting your rules and regulations of how you deal with yourself and your family. And outside of yourself, those are a set of ethics that you have when you're at work. There's a certain type of moral behavior that you must have in the workplace, right? So if you are a receptionist, you can't go cussing out everybody. Now, you could get away with being rude because most people are rude now anyway. If you are a, I can't say that about fast food, because fast food, you might get cussed out and jacked up all at the same time while they're giving you your order. So, you know, that lets you know that the moral philosophy of etiquette is not there, because everybody has experienced customer service so bad that you just say, you know, I don't even want it. Just walk out the door. How many times have you done that, Brother Dwyer?
A whole lot of time.
Exactly.
A whole
because,
lot of time.
Yeah, but
a lot of times I've done that.
Yeah, and so and what is that? That's because there's no ethic principles of how we are carrying ourselves. So the ethical principles are good because they are responsible to how we adhere to the principles of justice. That's how you become benevolent. You become accountable. You know, you these are things that that gives you compassion and understanding, and we are missing that side of ethics right now. So we calling on ethics, y'all. We need more ethics. We need to have more virtues in terms of how we deal with one another. You hear that, as Brother Dwyer spoke about, in the biblical sense. But even in the biblical sense of how we deal with morality is that we still will not come under all the laws that are governed under that way of life. I mean, I know plenty of Christians who excuse me, I'm going to say it like this so y'all really understand what I'm saying, who fuck hoes, and they call themselves Christians. And I know plenty of Muslims that do the same thing, and they call themselves Muslims.
Yeah.
But these are against
too.
Exactly, male and female. But these are the moral standards of a way of life that we say that we believe in, but because of our lack of practice, because it really is a practice, being it's about how you behave. You know, if you behave a certain way, it becomes your practice. Well, see, a lot of the young people see no benefit in being benevolent. They see no benefit in opening themselves up to proper etiquette. Thank you. You're welcome. May I please? They don't see the benefit in that. And the question is, why? Why did they lose their moral standards? Because they were supposed to be taught. So for me as a female, I always go back and look at the mother. And I catch a lot of flack from male and female. But because the base foundation is 0 to 7, and it's the mother. And they said, well, you know.
Who's the teacher?
Yes. This is very critical if we want to deliver the type of children that we need in order to raise a successful family. Just that by itself is something that we are not aware of. So, go ahead.
Sister Shana, your mind got to realize that what a baby see and what he hear for the first 3 years of his life shapes his attitude, his personality, and his beliefs. And when he see this for 3 years and hear this for 3 years, he is going to take on and act what he see and hear. At the age of 7 years old, he is perfect with what he see in here. At the age of 12 years old, his ass is complete with what he has seen and heard from zero age till he got here. Now, if he done heard hip-hop music, he done seen a blunt, he done seen killing, well, then what kind of goddamn mind has he got? He's got the mind that you're looking at in 2019, a gangster mind. out of control, a heathen, a barbarian, a pagan. Look at how he dressed, and look, he all of this purple hair, green hair shit, that's pagan. That's the Teutonic style of paganism. Look at him, tattoos, nose rings. Look at him. He took on the characteristics of his teacher, who was a slub human being. And you, your mind got to see this. It's a mind thing. Your mind got to see it. And if your mind can't see it, go ahead.
And Brother Dwight, what you saying that I see a question here on Google, which is speaks solely to that is, why is ethics so important? And the answer is, in addition, ethics is important because of the following: satisfying basic human needs, being fair, honest, and ethical is one of the basic human needs. Every employee desires to be such himself and to work for an organization that is fair and ethical in its practices. So, and that's what's missing in the hip hop arena. That's what's missing in the I want everything, is that you can't, if it's all about you, you can never be fair, because you want to win all the time. You want to stomp someone out. You know, you can't, you don't have a integrity and honesty, because you're going to get it any way you can. And this is what's being taught. This is what's being driven through the music. And that's a whole other industry.
And that's what you just talked about is being put into law, because in certain districts, the Pee Wee Football League, if you score 100 points on the other team, they got it now where nobody wins, so the other one's feelings won't get hurt by being beat 100 to nothing. Because it grieves the kid so much if he get beat 100 to nothing, it make him look like he is nothing. What you just said is being played out right now in disguise. Shit.
Oh, wow. You know, Brother Dwight, this is really kind of funny when you start really looking at what's going on, you know, in this society. Why is our children so weak that in their, that's not weak, but why don't they have enough discernment in a game if they're going to play? Again, I mean, that still just kind of go back to education. I always talk about that. But anyway, let me just see. Here are some words that are really important that we can put into ourselves and our children that will help us to up our standards of ethics as well as theirs. And that is, one is honesty, to be honest in your actions, in your communication with people, to have integrity, to keep your promises, keep your word. I used to say my word is my bond, which is really, really deep, but it goes back to more than just somebody saying my word is my bond. That's really a lawful term and where it come from. I think it even can go back to John Hancock. Anyway, that's another subject we'll come back to. Loyalty, fair, caring, respect, obeying the law. You know, if you ever read, I think it's Message to the Black Man. It's been a minute since I've read it. But there's a letter in there that was from the Ku Klux Klan to Elijah Muhammad. And the letter was talking about how, you know, basically how they feel about black people, and that, you know, he's glad that he has the niggers, and, you know, what expressing himself. And in the letter, it also talks about how we are lawless as a people. And all this is true. We are very lawless as a people. And there are a lot of reasons why we are lawless, but the first thing is to understand that we are lawless. We're out of law in so many areas. In our social standards, we are out of law. In our moral standards, we are out of law. In our nutrition standards, we are out of law. In our family standards, we are out of law. In how we govern our finances, we are out of law. So our standards toward ethics have been broken down to such a degree, we actually almost about the our degrees is less than a grain of sand, I think.
And the reason that you are outlaw is because you've been taught by the greatest outlaw in the world, the subhuman. And he live under grace from the laws of common sense, starting with your dietary laws.
Yes.
Yes. You see, so you can see that we up under the teaching and the belief of a God who is an outlaw. That's the reason in the book of Proverbs, 29th chapter, says that don't eat the foods of the gods. Put a knife at your throat before you eat a sweet-smelling, dainty food. And so when you eat the food of the subhuman, then you become an outlaw as him, because you're picking up his DNA now through his food. And that goes straight to your mind. And that everything deal with the mind. Now, we're talking about individual and how you got to think. And mm-hmm. and if you can't get out of that way of life, you perish.
Well, this is what we're seeing right now. I mean, I know that there's always going to be, you know, the ups and the downs. The people who class, I don't think class is ever going to go anywhere. There's always going to be classification. It's not going anywhere. Yeah. So how you work or how much. Absolutely.
Government is a caste system. Every government has its niggas. In China, they call them the Mongolians. Japan, they call them I forget what name. I got the name of each one of them wrote down in a book of who is the low class of every country. Every country has their niggas. In America, it's somebody look like me and you that they call niggas up until 1970. Shit. So you had to understand that. Your mind had to understand how these people operate. What system have we been put up under, and how we can survive in the damn system. That's the key.
Right, how we can survive, that's key. That is really, really key, because you got to be able to survive. But if you, there's no survival without study. And
right.
this has held us back in our practice and our advancement, is that we have not had enough moral practice toward, one, working with one another. So we can't even get enough of our family members to come together. But it right now, for me, I think that it comes back to the family. It has to come back to the basis of the family office. And because in the family office, that means that you are responsible. This is our moral responsibility to uplift the future of the family, to bring assets to the family. That is your moral responsibility, to bring that to your family. And we need to develop a better practice. How do we do that? That's the question. How, before we end, what are some of the strategies that we could take to do that? Well, number one is that what you can do for yourself is begin to set just three laws that your family is governed by. And those laws should be in categories. You should make sure that you put together a law of how you deal with your family morally, how you put together your nutrition and how you put together your economics. You should have three laws that govern you under each of those categories for your family. Now, if you are the only person in your house, then you are your family, because it is an address, it is a domain that has a being in there that is still a household. So if you begin to start laying down some foundation of how you want to do that, then, you know, we can begin to create a better self. We could be able to create a better family and community, and then on and on outwardly. So, and other steps that you can take to build a better moral fiber in your family is that come together and meet with each other, you know, come together and just, you know, have a dinner with one another. These are things that have left us in our community because the grandmothers are in nursing homes where the grandmothers, the big mothers who cooked. And so now we don't have that no longer. So you don't get to have that morality around the table that is enforced because you have group standards. You have family standards. So begin to have, if it's nothing else but once a month, to come together as a family so that you can help keep one another balanced in all facets of morality of our lives. Brother Dwyer, Brother Drew, is there anything that you would like to add before we get off? And I have just only a few more things I'd like to say about this. But if you have something to say, please go right ahead.
Yeah, that's pretty good knowledge. I'll just be enjoying it, but, you know, y'all on point.
Well, we need to get back into this subject. This subject is a little. We just got the beginning of this subject here.
Yeah, of course we always do, right? We always scratch of a subject and have to come back to it. Yeah, this is a deep subject, Brother Dwyer, because I think that. Even our morality toward
you can see that our morality now is the same as ancient Sodom and Gomorrah. It's worse now than us as historians. We can go back into history and see seven times that this has happened. The morality of the people have got down to this standpoint seven times, starting with Babylon, Assyria, Persia, Greek, Rome, America, up under the same system of colors of red, white, and blue of the subhuman. We can see that. I mean, us historians, we see this. We see it when it first got started and what shape is in now, all the way up into 7 years from now, this system will fall like hell. And another system will come into existence. And
well,
it's all
you know, Brother
due...
Dwyer, if someone even haven't lived that long, you know, that or they don't believe in history or any of that, you could just look at the time frame and see what's going on, like, right now. You could just go back and look at some of the movies and the videos, live videos and interviews of the people then, and look and compare now, and you will see that the standards of people have crashed in so many levels of life that it has absolutely took a plunge. But I think that as a people, we are responsible for where we are. Integration was a deadly bomb to us. But the only reason that we were integrated was because we had low moral self-esteem. And had we had higher esteem about ourselves, we would have gave the middle finger to integration and not integrated.
Well, so he noticed that and put the trick on you. He noticed
yes.
that and tricked you. He noticed that when you, if you study each stage of time periods on a decade, every 10 years, he knew something. We can go back and see by studying history, we can go back and see all of this right now as we speak. We can go all the way back through history and trace right down from 1960. He saw all of this, and where he got Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Where he got Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton to take you down to what you were into at 2019. See, we can study the history on that and see everything as it plays straight out of what, how we came to what we are now. The generation born after 1970, the XY, millennium, and Z generation of children, how their moral standards are, how they believe it was cracked. And that's protocol number 7 in the protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion. We'll talk about all of this, how he give you, how it was orchestrated to do you like this, to break you, because you were in the ways of the Goheen. You believe, you became an American. When you became an African-American, that means that all of everything that America believed in, American ways, you believed in it. You believed in it. And America don't have any moral standard. Everything goes. Your president made it that. Homosexuality is mental illness in any medical book in any nation of people, but not no more. Not no more. So you can see that when the standards of a nation went down to what it went in, into effect with your black president, then history repeats itself.
Well, I mean, in the YSC, but look at that. See, because if you see the moral hypocrisy that so many black people had toward President Obama is really worth analyzing, because the moral philosophy that they have him was to overlook some of the things that, like right now, we coming up to next year, 2020, where he put in law about how we have to deal with our license. This was under him. Now, he already know. If he know, if he study black people, he know that this going to trip us up more than any damn body else. So he definitely was not thinking about us in that respect. If he from the hood, he and Michelle, then they understand certain laws are going to have a preponderance effect on certain group of people. Just like Bill Clinton, who made a law about child support, and that child support issue, laws that they put in place, had a preponderance effect on black men. And this law is going to have a big effect on that. And not only that, the moral hypocrisy with Brother Obama, President Obama, is that he allowed, under his tenure, his signature, gay and lesbians who could be considered husband and wife. What happened with the Christianity moral standards? They did not stand up against him. No, they cheered for him. And in fact, this conversation that I'm having, certain people get a hold to this conversation will feel quite dissatisfied with how I'm communicating about this factor right now. But it was a hypocrisy then, and it still is a hypocrisy today, because we still yet are feeling the things that he signed off on. They still yet to be unrevealed.
Yeah, and see, that's all of this you have to take in consideration. All of this, you have to understand, all this shit doesn't happen. And
right.
See, everything doesn't happen. And so,
well,
I see that big old clock on the wall.
Yes, thank you, Brother Drew, Brother Dwyer, as always. I enjoy coming and spending time with you all and teaching, and I appreciate that. Anybody looking to communicate with me. I'm Shonda M. Park on Facebook. And you can purchase my book at ShondaMParks.com. And thank you all for the opportunity today.
Thank you, Sister Shonda.
Okay. Shema Yahweh, Yah, Abiyah, Ika, Kamadiyah. Until next week, Brother Drew, we'll entertain this subject next week.
Kamadiyah.
Kamadiyah.